some senses when this subject was suggested to me, I've got so much I feel I want to say on it. I don't know where to start. I sort of feel like I've been struggling with this one. Having started with examining orange braids in 1991, I feel like I've been struggling around this area for the best part of, well, I have been for the best part of 22 years now. So what I wanted to do was put some of this recent conflict about flags into some sort of quick, both theoretical and historical context. I'm getting more and more agitated by the fact that all of the commemorative material is being dealt with as if commemoration is something that historians would look at. Commemoration happens in the present. Commemoration always happens in the present. It always happens in the present. It is about the living, not the dead. It is absolutely about the living people, not the dead people. Ideologically, everybody tells you it's about the dead, but it's the living people that do the commemoration. So it's about the present. And in that sense, I'm always fascinated that it's the historians that are asked about it, not the sociologists, the anthropologists, and the political scientists. So I'll make that point right at the start. All right. I'm sorry that probably the text is a bit small on this screen. The way I've been trying to analyse the processes that have taken place around public space, and you can throw all the commemorative, the parade stuff, and the flag stuff. In that sense, I'm taking a broad sweep here. And I'm interested as an anthropologist how people experience and express themselves in the public arena and in the public space and how they do that. And some colleagues in America are very keen on this idea of understanding the symbolic landscape, of how people use the spaces that they're in. And I think that, you know, you can look around Belfast and understand the last 40 and 50 years of this city through how people have adapted, attempted to control that sort of symbolic landscape. And of course, there's a much bigger way of looking at that by looking at the development of freedom of assembly, the public space, the civic sphere, and how that changes over time, people's different ways of moving through that public sphere. Of course, gender, class, ethnicity has all made a difference, and we could just take the centre of this town and look at different historical points, how different groups have been able to move in and move out. You know, sometimes it was women who were seen as not, they shouldn't be in the public space. You know, in more contemporary situation, it could be kids with hoods on who are not to seen in the public space. So you can map changes over time, and of course those changes over time are inevitably linked to power. And broadly what we've seen over recent years is a shift in a sense of power of use of the public arena and the public space, which has come about in the post-agreement period. We've literally seen people who were not allowed to use the public space being allowed to use it, and other people finding that quite difficult to cope with, and those that, broadly speaking, controlled the public space being told, well, your control of the public space is not what it used to be, and you're going to have to adapt to that to a certain extent. So part of this way of people moving in and out of the public space is clearly connected to shifts and changes in power. Now, more specifically, if we're looking at the flag stuff that interests me, you can look very easily at how symbols work. They have a whole load of well-recorded aspects to them, some of them which cut against what people tend to think symbols are about. But anyhow, quickly to run through them, symbols are never fixed in meanings. Meaning change historically over time. I've often had this debate over the parade stuff, sometimes in political forums, when people say, we're parading now as we did 200 years ago. You're obviously not, because your understanding of those symbols is going to shift over periods of time. Now, I know that cuts against people's idea of nationalism, but a nationalism today is not a nationalism of 50 years ago, and it's not a nationalism 100 years ago, because we're in different contexts. But, of course, the carrying of the symbols gives you the sense of continuity over time, and that is, of course, why that ritual and commemorative practice is so important. So symbols change over time. the context, the meaning depends on the context. So a flag on a lamppost is not the same as a flag on an official flagpole above City Hall, all right? So context makes a difference. Different people read symbols in different ways. There are psychological drives which are brought into play, are going to shift in different contexts. Most interestingly and most importantly, symbols can provide a sense of community to people, and this goes back to some discussions earlier, who have diversity within them. So lots of people can see that they show an affinity to a particular symbol. That doesn't mean that those people have the same politics. Lots of people are loyal to a particular flag, and when you start to analyse what that flag means to them, you mean it can be quite different. Talk to 5 different Americans about their flag, they'll all be passionate about it, and then when you actually explore what their passion towards that flag is, it will be very different. All right. So this is what Andy Cohen many years called the symbolic construction of community. All right, and that's what makes symbols so powerful, because they can bring together a group who could otherwise be politically quite diverse. And then, of course, once you've gathered that symbols can do that, there are strategies that people politically use to control that activity that symbols have. Symbols can be invented, and Simon Harrison, who was retired now, but at this university, had this wonderful model, very simple model for how symbols are used. At some point, they're all invented, all the flags, all the traditions, everything is invented at some point. It can be valued and devalued. You can have strategies of valuing something by putting them on important lampposts or less important places, or carrying them up front of your parade. There's all sorts of valuation strategies, of which we're seeing things at the moment which are people attempting to value. Once they've got value, people will appropriate it. No, it's my flag. I want to use it. I'm going to use the poppy on my paramilitary mural because it has value, and I'm going to appropriate that for my meaning and my story and my narrative. All right? And you can destroy or ban symbols. So actually, politically, once you've worked out how the symbol works, there are a range of strategies. Now, that said, I want to quickly go through about 2 or 3 bits of interesting evidence to which this, and I've been most interested in actually the popular flying of flags rather than the official flying of flags, which I think is a very easy thing to solve. I know there'll be a struggle, but actually the official flag flying stuff is much simpler than dealing with the proliferation of the use of flags in the public spaces and the public arena, which will be more complicated. All right, so I'm interested in all of these. Just to throw out one obvious thing about them, which has made them important in the contemporary sphere, they're cheap. They're dirt cheap. And that makes, my friend Gordon Gillespie pointed this out first, that's why their use has changed, because in the old days, when you bought a flag, it was expensive, you looked after it. All right, you took care of it, because you couldn't keep buying dozens of them, because they weren't printing them in Taiwan. These all come from Taiwan, by the way. You'll be amazed how much with imloyalism is being made in Pakistan and Taiwan at the moment. It really is quite incredible. There are factories around the world each year throwing these things up. It would be an interesting little documentary in itself. So that's what I'm interested in. And those are people who often say who compare the lack of creativity with unionism and loyalism with the creativity in the Catholic community. You sometimes get that sort of bullshit. Are obviously not looking at flags, because the creativity within loyalism around symbols and flags and uniforms is, in some sense, is amazing. Each year there's a new recreation of flags and a new invention, which may only be Gordon Gillespie and myself who get very excited over. But nevertheless, we ring each other up and say, "New flag, got it?" You know. Right. I want to look at a couple of pieces of evidence which sort of question the nature of the symbols we're looking at. The first is, I think this is the 2010 Life and Time Survey. In general, would you or do you support flag flying on lampposts in your neighbourhood? Yes, 12%. No, 81%. Every time we replicate surveys, we struggle to find the people who support flags on lampposts in their area. And even when you cut these surveys down to working class Protestant areas, the best you can do sometimes is a little bit over 50% of people supporting flags on lampposts. All right? We are not a place here where people go buck mad over flags. Despite what you might think, most people are not that excited, and most people do not want them up on lampposts. And every time we survey it, that's what comes back. All right? So I put that up just to say that we've got to unpack this a little bit more to know why there are 4,500 flags up on lampposts, a third of which are left there right the way through the winter. All right? Because it's obviously not what most people particularly want or like, Protestant or Catholic, Loyalist or Republican. The second survey, which I think pertains to part of the survey which pertains to this, was the question, thinking about flags being flown on lampposts in Northern Ireland, in your opinion, who usually puts up Union flags on lampposts? Town Council 7%, but these aren't percents, but they were allowed to tick more than one thing. Town Council 7, political parties 20%, cultural groups 90%, paramilitary groups 57%. All right, other community groups 15%, isolated individuals 29%, don't know 8%. All right, a vast amount of people in Northern Ireland think that the Union flags put up by paramilitary groups. Now, we can argue whether that's right or wrong, or good or bad, all right? Needless to say, when we ask the same question about the tricolour, we get the same sort of answer. So the popular flying of flags, in terms of the context of them being put on lampposts, is being understood by an awful lot of the population as demarcating paramilitary space. Okay, and that needs to be discussed, because that means that despite what people think, these two flags are in fact, in certain contexts, paramilitary flags. These are paramilitary flags in the sense that they are being understood by an awful lot of the population as demarcating paramilitary space. And it's amazing how often when the debates about this policy happen, people want to know from me how many paramilitary flags were up, and they then debate about whether the UVF 1912 one stroke wrong date 1913 flag is or is not paramilitary, whereas in fact the really outstanding issue is that the national flags are perceived by people as being paramilitary flags. But of course the policymakers will be terrified of actually trying to deal with that notion, even though the statistical evidence that they funded to produce tends to show that. All right. And so that if we then look at the flag, we got vast amounts of figures. We did 5 years of surveying 3 times a year of all of the main roads in Northern Ireland to see whether there was any change over periods of time after the peace process of how flags are being mapped. And you want a little bit of change if you're a social scientist, don't you? Just a little bit of a movement one way or another. And for all the talk of there's more flags, there's less flags, there's more flags, the consistency in the number of flags over the whole of Northern Ireland during the July period was astonishing, with within a few hundred each year coming up the same. It was really quite amazing. I suspect we've seen an increase in the last few years. Anyhow, so the nature of that, and we know from looking at flags put up and put down that about a third of them are left up over the winter months. I won't go into the reasons, the differences in nationalist flags put up and down, but we could talk about that if people are particularly interested. But it was usually one of the Ulster teams winning getting to the All-Ireland final. So, to conclude, what are the things that I think some of the issues that are thrown up by the evidence that we got on popular flying of flags? Well, as I said at the beginning, all of this stuff is about the present. People are using these demarcating space in the present. They might be using the past to talk about it, but it's about the present. The contestation is a natural part of the normal public sphere. All societies have them. We're no different than anywhere else. However, we have a divided society. Flags have become a relatively easy way for people with very limited power to demarcate their space. And that seems to me to be an interesting thing. And I could talk to you about tactics that both non-aligned Republican groups have used, small loyalist groups have used, young men basically, because it's not everybody puts up flags, basically it's often young men putting flags up, in terms of the way they're controlling the spaces that they live in. All right. And these, interestingly, are practices which those people have learnt that the state is not willing to intervene in. They know, basically, that the police are unlikely to act, even with, obviously, things that could be deemed as illegal. The state has withdrawn, whereas it very much didn't in the parades, which is interesting. In the popular flying of flags, the state, even when it was told it was supposed to under new policies, having interviewed police officers, they will tell you there's no fucking way we're going in and doing that. All right? They can talk all they like about, well, we should do that and shouldn't do that. Let me tell you, the police do not want to police it. And they've made it absolutely clear, and a lot of the people that put the flags up know bloody well they're not going to be policed. All right? So there's a power relationship. Now, I'm not talking about all flags all the time. People put them up for lots of different reasons, but that is a significant aspect of the use of space and flag flying in Northern Ireland. Thank you.